Acts in chapter 17. My Bible, it's page 1329. Acts chapter 17 and verse 32. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and some said, "We will hear thee again also concerning this." Thus Paul went out of their midst, but some men, joining themselves to him, believed, among whom also was Dionysius the Areopagite, and a woman by name Damaris, and others with them. And the same book in chapter 24, and verse 24. And after certain days, Felix, having arrived with Drusilla, his wife, who was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned concerning righteousness and temperance and the judgment about to come, Felix, being filled with fear, answered, "Go for the present. When I get an opportunity, I will send for thee," hoping at the same time that money would be given him by Paul. Wherefore also he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But when 2 years were completed, Felix was relieved by Porcius Festus as his successor, and Felix, desirous to oblige the Jews to acquire their favor, left Paul bound. And just another section in Matthew's Gospel. Matthew's Gospel in chapter 25. Matthew 25 and verse 10, right at the end of that verse, the last five verses, where it simply says, "And the door was shut." A preacher some years ago decided to carry out a survey of the Bible to see what some of the important words were. For instance, he wanted to find the saddest word in Scripture, and also the happiest words, and words that conveyed emotion. And one of the words that he looked for was, what would be the most dangerous word in the Bible? Now, if I was to ask you what you would consider the most dangerous word in the Bible, I wonder what variety of answers we would get. Well, the word that he homed in on was a word well known to us. It was the word tomorrow. I've read of two scriptures in Acts, where when the gospel was presented, the response to it with some was, "I'll think about it and hear about it tomorrow." It's a word that we often use. It's a word that Satan uses often. It's a word that keeps persons from coming to the Lord Jesus and owning him as a Savior. If Satan was to come out and say to you, "Oh, don't listen," you know, you might resent that. But when he says to you, "Think a little more about it. Just wait till tomorrow," it's a bit softer, isn't it? And so many people are taken in and listen to that voice, and they think about it. And when tomorrow comes, they wait for the next tomorrow, and so on. Whereas in Scripture, the word that reflects the heart of God is today. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart today. When should you yield to the Lord Jesus? When should you yield to the pleadings of the Savior? Whenever you feel him speaking to you. Don't say, I'll think about it. I'll go out that room. I'll hear it again next week. That's what you've done in the past, isn't it? When you hear him speaking to you, yield to his voice and open your heart to the Lord Jesus. In the ordinary things of life, how often we use tomorrow. The preacher uses it. I'll do it tomorrow. And I guess there's not one person in this hall who hasn't said that. No, no, I'll do it tomorrow. Plenty time. But you know, tomorrow is not in your hands or in my hands. Tomorrow is in the hands of God. What you have as you listen to the gospel preaching tonight is just the time now. Now. Now is a day of salvation. I beg of you, if you hear the gospel, if you hear God speaking to your heart tonight, don't go out that door without yielding to that speaking and accepting the Lord Jesus as your own and personal Savior. You know, the businessman says, I'll settle that deal tomorrow. The student says, that's plenty of time. It doesn't need to be handed in till tomorrow. And so it goes on, and we're all the same. That's how we treat life. But what does it say? What's the saying? Procrastination is the thief of time. Somebody has also said it's the graveyard of eternity. It's one thing to put off the affairs of life till tomorrow, but what we deal with in the gospel is far more precious, because what we're dealing with is eternal matters, where your destiny will be beyond this life scene, where your destination will be in eternity. That's how important this is. And to say, I'll leave it till tomorrow. As I've said, tomorrow is not in your hands, but God has given you today. Oh, grasp the opportunity and claim what God is offering you today. I read the scripture in Acts 17. The gospel had come to Europe, and in Paul it had come to Athens. Now, Athens wasn't a non-religious place. As Paul wandered through the city, a city that had different kinds of philosophies, he saw an altar to this god, an altar to another god, so on. He must have been amazed, you know. And then he spied another altar, an altar to the unknown god. Just what Paul was looking for. Just an impression came into his heart. That's what I'm going to speak about. The unknown God of Athens. And Paul, as he left that city, didn't leave him as an unknown God. He told the citizens there and anybody that was willing to listen about who this unknown God was. Who is he? As you look up to the heavens, he's the God who put the heavens there. As you look around the scope of earth with all its creational beauties and wonders, despite what men say, God put them there. From the little plants in the ground to the great things, the great mountains, the great seas, all the handiwork of God. Isn't it amazing that God should put these things within the reach of man Ah, but greater than that. God, having put man into the scene of creation that he'd made, man quickly sinned. I'm not going over the old story of sin. Every one of us here, before the eyes of God, classed as a sinner. And sadly, none of us could do anything about it. God sent his own Son into this world. Not as a, only as a mark of his love for his concern for man, but he sent his own Son into this world in order that this horrible thing called sin and sins would be taken up and dealt with before the eye of God in such a way that tonight, righteously, he could come in the gospel, and no matter what your condition, no matter what your social standing, he could offer a full and righteous forgiveness to the soul who in faith put their trust in Christ and his finished work at Calvary. But you know, it's easy to say these words, but do you know what Calvary involved? Do you know what it involved for God's Son as he took on all that men could throw against him? But that was just by the side. What he took on at Calvary's cross was God's unsparing judgment against sin. The sword of Jehovah was awakened against sin. I look back on the Old Testament and I see in one stage in Israel's history, the angel hovering over Jerusalem with a sword about to bring down judgment on it, but that sword was never used. But God saw that Calvary fell on the head of my Savior, and it fell on his head because I was a sinner and you're a sinner. What do you need to do? You need to simply look at Calvary and see that someone else has borne what is due to you as a sinner, borne it in his own body on the tree, and be able, by putting your faith in him, along with Peter in the scriptures here, who said, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Well, Paul presented such a person, and he told these people who were listening to him that this is the man that God has appointed to judge the whole habitable earth in righteousness. And he goes on to speak about whom he's appointed, giving proof of it all, and having raised him from among the dead. Yes, I can tell you about my Savior hanging at Calvary's cross. I can tell you about him going into death. And death, with its clammy grip, held every other man. But my Savior couldn't be held in death. And when they heard of the resurrection of dead, some mocked, and some said, "You're not a mocker. You say, I'm here tonight to hear the preaching. You're not a mocker. Are you amongst the next lot? We will hear thee again also concerning this." That's those who say, wait till tomorrow. What does the next section say? It says, thus Paul went out of the midst. I'm sure it's been said from here that this may be the last opportunity to hear the glad tidings. And that's true. I can say it again tonight, because tomorrow is not in our hands. But this was the last opportunity to hear the gospel from the mouth of Paul. And so they would wait till the tomorrows, whilst others, it says, some men joining themselves to him, believed. Are you going to be amongst those who believe tonight? That's the simple matter in the gospel, repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we had designed this plan, we would have wanted to do something that we could have made a name of, to secure our blessing, to secure our salvation, that is just out of the door. The work's been done by Christ. God says, I want you to accept it. And that looking at him at Calvary, repent of your sins and put your faith in him. Well, these persons did. It says, some joined, among whom was this man and this woman. That's wonderful. And you know, it'll be a great triumph if you too, in the consciousness of your soul, decide to not wait till tomorrow, but to put your faith in Christ tonight. Read of another man, Felix. He was a governor. And he wanted to hear about Paul, because Paul was a great announcer of the glad tidings, and he was a prisoner. And Felix wanted to hear about him. And so he called for Paul, and Paul stood before him. Or should I say, Felix stood before Paul. Felix was going to be faced with a clear exposition of the glad tidings. It says, Paul reasoned concerning righteousness, and Felix would be found out in that. No doubt, Paul spoke of God's righteousness, which has been established at the cross of Calvary. But over against that, every man is unrighteous. And Felix, in his case, was probably doubly unrighteous. And then he spoke about temperance, self-control. These days, men and women were given to excesses. And so is the situation in our day. Men and women, young folks, given to excesses. And the judgment about to come. Ah, what's this? Judgment about to come. I'm not speaking about Ukraine. I'm not speaking about Gaza. I'm speaking about this world and you in it. And I want you to be aware that in God's eyes, this world is under the sentence of judgment. And in his grace, that judgment is held up just momentary. During this dispensation we are in, that judgment is held up. But it will not always be. And when God's judgment on this world is released, as it will be, the question is, will you fall under the judgment of God? Or will you have escaped it by putting your trust in Christ? To escape it, as I've said, you need to place your trust in the Lord Jesus. There was a situation in the Old Testament in Genesis where judgment was coming on Sodom and Gomorrah. It was about to be unleashed, God's judgment. And God was anxious to rescue persons out of that. And one man had to be told, escape for thy life. Oh, friend, you're in a privileged situation tonight that if you haven't yet yielded to the Lord Jesus, you can escape for your life tonight by putting your trust in Christ and in his finished work. That man I referred to escaped. His wife looked back and she didn't escape. And so what I'm suggesting to you is don't be like Felix. As he heard Paul reasoning and laying out the truth of the glad tidings, he began to be afraid. He trembled. He shook in his shoes. The thought of being under the judgment of God and no way of escape, it was too much for him. So what did he do? Did he yield to Paul? Did he yield to Christ? No. He says, Paul, that's enough just now. I'll hear you again tomorrow or the next day. And he did hear Paul again, but he never trembled again, or at least Scripture doesn't tell us that he trembled again. He was filled with fear. And it says, when 2 years was completed, Felix was relieved by Porcius Festus, and he left Paul bound. Now, my friend, you're not a governor like Felix. The gospel comes to you as it comes to me, showing us a way to blessing. Are you just going to think about it? Or are you going to act and accept that tomorrow is no use, that God has saved to you today? I don't know if you've ever heard of Dr. Woolston. He was a medical doctor in Edinburgh. In fact, he came from the south of England somewhere, but most of his life was spent in Edinburgh in the 1800s. He was a medical doctor, a good doctor, but he was also a great preacher of the glad tidings. And in his spare time, he often would go into the hospitals, not on a medical basis, but just to speak to patients there about the soul's salvation. And one man he came across who was more seriously ill than the man felt. And Dr. Woolston very graciously laid out the situation the man was in as far as his soul was concerned, as far as the opening to salvation was concerned, and he lingered with the man for quite a while. And what did the man say? I'll think about what you're saying. And eventually, Dr. Woolston had to go away. And just as he was going out the exit of the ward, it was as if he heard a word saying to him, go back and speak to him again. And back he went, laid out the terms of the glad tidings once more. And still the man said, yes, I hear what you're saying, but I'll think about it. First thing in the morning, Dr. Woolston made his way to that ward. The man's bed was empty. He'd passed from this life into eternity. I'm not saying what would have happened in the last moments of his life, but he certainly missed the opportunity that was offered him in Dr. Woolston's conversation with him. Just as Felix, that governor, missed the opportunity. I gather from history that Felix, after being relieved, went out into a dark night and latterly took his own life. How solemn. Oh, friend, your position without Christ is very critical. I beg of you, make your decision for Christ tonight. Gospel door is wide open. The door of mercy is wide open. Our last verse says, and the door was shut. That door of mercy is soon going to be shut. The door of the gospel is soon going to be shut. If it was shut tonight, which side of the door would you be in? Would you be inside, having accepted Christ as your personal Savior? Or would you be outside, full of regret, missed your opportunity, an opportunity never to return again? That's how solemn the situation is. I commend these few simple thoughts to you. Our hymn said, do not delay, haste away, do not delay. Infinite welcome waits the sinner today. It waits you, it waits us all. Oh, may we make sure that we're on the right side of the door, that Christ is in our hearts. He's honored in heaven. Let him be honored afresh in all our hearts. And may God bless the word.